Good evening. I call this April 1st, 2025 meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bolziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you here. This is a public meeting. You're encouraged to take part in the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules that help proceed with an orderly meeting as you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to make a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep remarks brief, about 3 minutes, for others to have an opportunity. I think we've got plenty of space here. However, focus on comments. We'll keep track of time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is posted at both exits. I'll now call for a roll call of members.
Bolziger?
Here.
Haleska?
Here.
Pound? Kading?
Here.
Huber? Radner? Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell? Heinrich?
Here.
Thank you. So we're going to move right on to item 3, which is the election of the chair and vice chair for 2025. Any nominations for the chair?
I nominate you, Darrell.
Second.
Third.
Fourth.
Not are there any other nominations for the chair? I'll close the nominations and ask you to vote.
We all voted aye.
I should say.
Yes!
That was
you
win!
Okay. Now I accept the nominations for vice chair.
You're vice, right? Mm-hmm. I nominate Joe Haleska.
I'll second.
Are there any other nominations?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
I would like to nominate Travis. I think he'd do a good job.
Ooh. Is there a second to that? I'll second it.
There you go.
Oh, are there any other nominations?
Okay. Paper. Yeah.
What?
You have to use your slips of paper. All
right. So first we.
I got paper.
Yes, so you have to pass those out.
Pass those out. And
okay.
You're doing paper ballots.
Yeah, I understand. I just want to make sure there's no other nominations.
How about we all do raise our hands?
No, I can't.
No, we got to do secret ballot. There's several there.
Writing utensil.
Just write in the person you think.
As you guys can see, I came very prepared.
I'll take one. Thank you.
Can we keep these?
Who did you nominate? Yes. Chris or Dare? Or
Travis.
Agree.
That's it.
Who's clicking? Okay.
Thank you.
You wrote it down 3 times, right?
Wait, I got more paper.
I'm glad I showed up.
Stuff in the ballot box.
You should be glad you showed up.
I would not have nominated you because it's hard. It's the hardest job I've had my whole life.
Yeah, right. Like insurance is even harder.
No, it weighs here.
Oh, really?
Oh, my
gosh. It is 4 for Travis Radner, and I'm going to call this one abstention. Because
Brian
was not an option.
Who did that?
So that we don't have to vote on that. We've already voted, so that's
right.
Not
that would right. Be my paper ballot, so you might just make a note in their paper ballot that Ryan is blessed.
Okay, item number 4, approval of minutes from the February 4th, 2025 meeting. Anybody read
them? Oh, I'll make a motion to approve them.
Second.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Haleska. Is there any comments? Please vote.
No, it's not.
Nothing's coming up for me to vote.
All right, yeah.
She's still doing it, working on it.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
I'm back something bad. Mr. Pounds just texted me, he's at Navy training. He said, I can't make it. I said, you're the chairman.
Make him sweat.
And who made the motion?
Me.
Ryan?
Yeah.
And then who seconded?
Me.
Me.
Okay, now I can.
Me and me.
Me and me.
Council or planning commission members voting aye, Schroeder, Boziger, Heinrich, Poleska, abstaining, Kading.
Does that mean it passes with just four of us?
Yes, it does pass because you do have quorum. Hers just does not count.
Okay.
Anything.
Thank you. I will open a public hearing to consider amending the City of Blair zoning regulations, Article 7, Section 704 RML. Residential, multifamily, residential, low density district. By moving multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units and residential condominiums to a maximum of 6 living units pursuant to section 1116 from 704.04 exceptions to 704.02 permitted principal uses and structures. Jeff.
Thank you and good evening everyone. Jeff Fireman, Community Development Director. First on your decision tonight, is the RML Multifamily Residential District Amendment that changes the uses of multifamily condominiums. Right now, RML is this color here. That's the difference for some of the RMH. We're talking the RML jurisdictions are this part of town here, scattered throughout here, and down in our new subdivision, and RML is also the base district for any new subdivisions, also for any new recreation residential subdivisions. So that shows you kind of where they're scattered out throughout the city now. What we're hoping to do is move a couple of the conditional use permitted uses into primary use. So instead of accepted and having to get a special use permit to CUP, these two things will now be permitted by use. And you can see how 704.02 is right now. Single family dwellings, two family dwellings, attached, which are duplexes, and condominiums of two living units, then churches, playgrounds, and row crowd. What we are proposing, and hopefully you will agree with, is adding multifamily dwellings to a maximum of 6 units, sixplex, and residential condominiums for a maximum of 6 units instead of 2 into the permitted uses. This comes across as we have a person who is hoping to build some sixplexes and triplexes in town, and they will go through the conditional use permit. That's not a problem, but as we are working on trying to make it easier to build these kind of structures in town, so it's just one more impediment. I shouldn't say impediment. Just one more area that causes some concern and some time constraints. So hopefully after you hear this, you'll give your opinion on it, but I think it's really something that the city does need again to work on getting more density and more areas of sixplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, anything like that into the more of the multi-family districts. Again, this is RML only. RMH has its own, and of course RM and R are two higher or lowest density areas don't have this at all, and that's not anything to do tonight. So the one thing you may be saying is like, okay, if we're not going to be able to look at this because, as we say, some things are allowed, could be used in certain places, but not every place. There are already stipulations into our code right now that kind of limits where a sixplex or a quad or something like that can go. Currently, language is, as you can see, 6,000 square feet for a single family residence. Want to move up to a multi-family, two dwelling units, i.e. duplex or, you know, side by side or on top. Now you have to jump up to 8,000. But up to a total of 6 units, you still need to have 1,500 square feet per unit. So if somebody wanted to build an actual sixplex, they would need 14,000 square feet. And right now at 6,000 square feet, usual yard, you're looking at having to join possibly three, maybe even more lots together if they were at 6,000 square feet. So that already right there had some limitations to what you can do. You're not going to take a typical RML lot of 6,000 square feet and stick a sixplex on it, or even a quadplex. It just will not fit. Plus, maximum lot coverage comes into play also. Maximum lot coverage in RML is 40%. So let's say somebody does have the minimum 14,000 square feet to build a sixplex. Because of the maximum lot coverage of 40%, that building can only be 5,600 square feet. And which seems like a lot, but you're also going across maybe 3 or 4 different lots. Right now, the RMH residential condominiums are allowed, and then multifamily dwellings up to 48. They don't see anything about sixplexes or quads or anything like that, because it's 0 to 48. This right here, in case you're wondering about the condominiums, is what we always talk about, 6 and 1, 1, 1, 6. And that basically is just the limitations on height and lot requirements and different areas that has to do with condominium law, such as each owner receives their prorated share of the common ground, such like that. I just throw that in there also because in case you had any questions about 1, 1, 1, 6. This right here is given to us by a person hoping to add something. And you can see right here, these are single bedroom units. There's a sixplex here, single level walk-in ADA style, and then there's 2, 3 plex units there. And again, they'll go through the conditional use for a minute if they have to, that's not a problem. But we think that making this a permitted use will hopefully speed things up and be one less area to hold back in if we're trying to do this. Any questions for staff on this?
So basically, you're just cleaning up the language. We're not changing any square footage or lots.
We're not changing square foot lots. All we're doing is taking those two uses and making them permitted.
Yeah. Yeah, so they wouldn't need a conditional use permit going forward.
Yeah, makes sense.
You're showing this diagram, and I see the building, but where's the lot size on those? Because it's got to be a much larger lot size than those buildings, right?
Yes, 2.7 acres.
So, but they don't show it on your diagram.
No, right? This is just an early diagram. Okay. This, which is why there's all the contour lines in there and stuff like that.
I'm kind of curious how the different owners will own part of the land. Do they actually own that physical part or just a percentage of the total land?
Well that would be up to the owner. They could do it a couple different ways. They could use that condominium style ownership, which means they would own their individual unit and land under it and then have common ownership of everything else. Or they could be rented out and stay with the owner.
Yeah, these I think are intended to be that you buy your units, so that's all you technically own, and all of the ground is shared by
everybody.
So you either have somebody take care of the snow, or guys, you take turns smoking.
Well, something like that, they'd have a condo association probably that would have snow removal and all of that and what have you.
The condominium ownership.
Yeah.
They do all that.
But then again, that will be up to the owner how they want to do that stuff. So.
Can they, just kind of curious, but sure. If you're doing a condominium, can they go up instead of sideways?
There's the square footage.
But there's a height restriction, right?
There's a height restriction on residential and stuff like that. Now this gets into the commercial area too, but I think it leaves that IRC, which is a residential house, is no more than I think 30 feet. It gets into the IBC, which is a little bit higher height. But when you're doing a quadplex or a sixplex, chances are you're not going to build a 4-story condominium or a 4-story sixplex. I'm not saying you couldn't, but it's probably not the most cost-effective way.
And Jeff, I don't know if you clarified or not, the narrower two buildings here actually are sixplexes as well. It's just there's 2 stories. So one unit is above another. The ones that are, I think are on the outside edges where the drive lanes are, drive in, they have parking underneath, and the other units up above, and has parking that kind of enters on that level. So it's a little weird. One's a sixplex, all at the same level. The other two are sixplexes, but three and three stacked. So. Yeah, well, thank you.
So we're just doing wording. We're not really, this is just an example. This is not
proving anything like this. Yeah, this is not going through.
Is that wording good? Is that what we're trying to figure out? And the square footage and all that kind of stuff. And
Jeff, when you mean example, I guess what you mean, because they are wanting to do this, right?
They are, but there's no building in their pole.
There's no, but it has nothing to do with
Well, it depends. I mean, because if you would approve this tonight and the council approves it, then they're able to do this just by us issuing building permits. They don't have to come get a conditional use permit. If it's not approved by the council ultimately, then they have to go through a conditional use permit process. Neighbors would be notified, all those kinds of things. So really the key emphasis here is, because of the desire to do more density, do you want to be able to allow up to a sixplex by right, which means they just have to come get a building permit and the neighbors aren't notified, aren't told about it? Or do you feel like this could potentially be intrusive, and therefore in all situations the neighbors should be notified, have to go through the whole process of getting a conditional use permit?
But this is an RML district.
Correct.
And they still have to go underneath the square footage that's already there.
Yeah, so they still have to meet all the normal requirements that we would make them meet. The really the only thing you're not requiring is the public, that extra public process of having to go through a conditional use permit.
Yeah.
But they could do this with a CUP, is what you're saying.
Correct. And if it's turned down by the council, then they'll apply for the conditional use permit and come back and ask to be able to do it. We just felt like, as we were talking with them, as Jeff said, because we know that there's kind of an emphasis on increasing density around town anyway, that this would be one of those incremental steps that makes it easier for a developer to be able to do a sixplex, because they don't have to come get a conditional use permit. They can just do it. There's always obviously the concern from any developer that, well, what do you think the neighbors are going to say? You know, I mean, as soon as it becomes a public process, it's a little more uncertain for them. But if you and ultimately the council don't feel like a sixplex should be obtrusive in RML, we're not talking some of the less dense districts, then that's why you might recommend this to the council.
Can you pull up the RML map again?
The map.
The zoning map again. Can you pull it up?
Yeah.
There you go. So it's only going to be in the yellow areas.
Yes, but the aware some of this is R and H.
Yeah.
Where would be allowed anyway?
Right.
Right.
And that's not that much of the town anyway.
What kind of bothers me a little bit is a lot of the things RML are kind of on the edge of town. This is where the new growth is going on. So all of a sudden neighbors, they say all of a sudden this thing being built and they didn't know it was even going to be built in their neighborhood, especially down the that corner down there. You know, it's all brand new areas. That's what I worry about,
right?
On the edges of town, I can see doing it more in the middle more. But
well, duplexes are already allowed there too. I mean, by right.
That's true.
So,
but you're talking about six things.
It could be, yeah. But that gets into the mixed use development. It's right. Also made for higher density than RM or R, which do not allow those at all.
And
if there's a concern on the height, you could certainly add a recommendation that, you know, the height stays within possibly the height of the residential. Again, this, I think when it's above a duplex, it runs into the IVC codes.
Probably so.
So that could be a recommendation that they.
I think a sixplex is going to be IVC no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, it would be IVC sixplex.
Yeah.
Again, you can always make it. If you're worried about height, you can always make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Right.
The only exception on a sixplex is if it's laid out as a townhome. And then those are always designed with a 2-hour firewall between them anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the exception when you get above two. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't we change our kind of standard base new district? If we see new subdivisions go in, that's going to be RML?
Yes.
Yeah. So in a sense, if this is approved by the council, what you're saying is, generally speaking, in brand new subdivisions, we don't think even building a sixplex, as long as the lot is large enough, should be an issue. And for those who advocate for a higher density, that's becoming kind of the standard.
Any other questions for the staff?
No.
Is there any comments from the audience? Two people. I'll close the public hearing then and see what the Planning Commission wants to do.
I recommend amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Article 7, Section 704, RML, Residential Multifamily Residential Low Density District, as presented.
I'll second it.
You second?
I'll second, yes.
Any more discussion? Anyone want to do an amendment? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Kading, Schroeder, Boziger, Poleska. Voting nay, Heinrich.
So this will go to the City Council then. Is it next week or three weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. In 3 weeks, okay. I'll open a public hearing to consider amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Article 11, Supplementary District Regulations by adding Section 1103.5, Accessory Dwelling Unit, and amending Article 3, Construction and Definitions, adding definitions 303.01, which is 2.5, I'm not sure what that means, Accessory Dwelling Unit. Jeff.
Thank you, yeah. I'm very happy to be finally getting the ADU presentation to Planning Commission and to City Council. It's been a while since we've had to do this. We did take this to the Ad Hoc Planning and Zoning Committee, which is a committee made up of three Planning Commission members, three City Council members, and various staff. Chris Boswell, Holly Hafer, Joe Poleska, Kirk Highfield, Ryan Schroeder, Katie Ferrari, when she was there, but now as part of staff, Aaron Barrow, Phil Green, and Mayor Rum. We've got a few other people give their opinions also. So this was looked at, just not by me and other staff, but worked on with the full support of that committee. I think we did a really good job. I know the committee did a good job looking at different regulations also. This is not any changes to the book. This is a whole new addition. This is something new that has not been, I believe, in Blair before. And the accessory dwelling unit is what it is. It's just basically a second home on the single lot. This item was postponed since March, pretty much postponed since last December also. Again, the accessory unit, this is the definition which will be put into the book, and it just talks about what it is. It has a separate entrance, a separate address. Whether it's part of the house or not part of the primary structure. Can take various forms, detached unit, such as that one, attached, let's say you build on to the house, so you turn part of the house into that, above a garage, and then also turning the garage into an accessory dwelling unit. A couple things I did want to point out, hopefully you've had a chance to read this into your packet. One thing that this ADU does is there were much, much longer ones out there. We really kept this compact to the point, which I think is great for anybody wanting to do this because they'll be able to understand a little bit more. We've had 2 to 3 people a year ask about this. It's becoming more common. A lot of people want to age in place. Unfortunately, some of the people that have talked to us about this either have moved on or do not need an accessory structure anymore. dwelling structure. So it'd be nice to get this in, if you agree and the council agrees, to get this in the book to give people other options. A couple of different things, though. We're going to allow this. We're proposing all residential districts and general agriculture and transitional ag. However, a CUP is going to be needed for everything on this. So it doesn't matter if you're in RMH high density or you've got a 40-acre farm, to add an ADU is going to require conditions from it. No ADU will be between the rear of the house and the front yard, so you can't stick it out there in the middle, unless it's part of the conditional use permit, like a garage or anything like that. And some of the other districts which already allow accessory structures through a conditional use permit in front. Think RRE. If you want to have an accessory structure in front of your house in RRE, you have to come ask conditional use permit. Well, we are basically following the same accessory structure rules for ADUs. In fact, you can't have more than two accessory structures, including your ADU. So you have a detached garage, a good sized shed, you can't add a third ADU unit. Again, this is taken right from the language in ADUs right now. It just talks about different sizes. And a lot of this talked about when you go through the CUP unit. If you do put it out in front, or possibly by the size, because if somebody has a garage attached already or next to the house that's existing, do the CUP can allow them to use that as an accessory dwelling unit. But the CUP also gives you a lot of control. Color, lighting, whatever you need can be added to that, so it doesn't become an eyesore or an add-on or something like that. Before I get to the examples, I did want to make a couple other comments here. Maximum lot coverage, the combined total square footage of the primary detached ADU can't be above the maximum lot coverage now, much like an accessory unit. You've got 6,000 square foot RML lot, 2,000 square foot house, 1,000 square foot garage. Now you're also limited to how much your ADU could be by the lot coverage and what you already have. ADUs will have a maximum of 1,000 square feet. Now again, that will be controlled by a lot of different things. Lot size, setbacks, just how much they can actually have there. For instance, an accessory dwelling or accessory unit right now in a typical 10,000 square foot lot in Blair cannot be any larger than 862 square feet. An ADU, even though the maximum allowed is 1,000 square feet, that doesn't mean it can fit in there. It's got to fit within the accessory structure rules as they are now, which is 816. Bigger lot, bigger, you know, you're allowed more. You're allowed up to 1,200 square feet in larger lots in town that are above 10,000 square feet. Again, the ratio of setbacks, lot coverage, existing structure, all plays into this. No matter what, though, no ADU, if allowed above 864 square feet, will be more than 1,000 square feet. A couple different examples. This is a converted garage. This is all off the web, nothing around here. This is just a standalone accessory dwelling unit. This is above garage. And here's just a simple layout for what you could have. You know, 10 by 18 square foot bedroom, 16 by 10 living room, and such like that. So. And with that, any questions on ADUs?
No, I think they're great. No questions.
No more questions to the staff? Is there any comments from the public? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I will make a motion to accept as presented.
I second.
Motion by Pulesca, second by Kading to accept the amendment as presented. Any more comments? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that's also in 3 weeks, right? Report from staff.
Welcome to the spring.
So I'll accept a motion to close the meeting.
I'll make that motion to adjourn right now.
I'll second. Let's roll.
Motion by Colossus. Second by Katie to adjourn the meeting. Please vote.
Yeah.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, thank you, folks.